Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello and welcome along. It is another episode of Alt Down Under with me, your host, Luke Scanlon, here with you yet again. Thanks again for coming along for the ride. I hope the last 2 weeks have been as wild and fruitful and delightful as mine have been. I've had such a good couple of weeks, and this is an episode that I'm very, very pumped to bring to you. Episode 29. We're nearly in our 30s here with Alt Down Under, which is very, very fun. And in this episode, an artist whose music I have very much been in love with over the last 5 years. This artist was indeed someone who dragged me through the dross, the dregs of life that was COVID. This person gave me life, and they also give a lot of fans life as well. She came onto the scene with her debut album back in 2021. That's their album named Skin. One of those tracks gaining a new fan base after it was included on a FIFA soundtrack, and she's gone on to get critical acclaim right across the music industry for her amazing vocals, her neo-soul sound that still carries that classic soul to it. In this episode of Alt Down Under, I am absolutely over the moon to bring you my chat with the one, the only, Joy Crooks. One of those ones where I'm like, as if I'm actually able to say that sentence. Joy Crooks joining me, Luke Scanlon, on my podcast, Alt Down Under. Ridiculous. Bit of a pinch me moment. As I said, huge fan of Joy's music, and it was a chat that I just absolutely loved every second of. She was an absolute delight to chat to. So warm, so friendly, so lovely, bubbly. And we covered lots of topics. We covered, of course, the new album, the brilliant, brilliant second album from Joy Crooks, Juniper. We talk about how she had her own personal struggles in the lead up to that album. How she teamed up with Kano, the legend that is Kano of the UK grime garage scene, UK rap. And how in her everyday life, Joy finds the romance in the little things. Not just romance in terms of dating and love, but also the little nuggets of life that you don't always appreciate on a day-to-day basis. So we have a lovely chat about that. Plus, of course, her upcoming show down here in Australia. She is coming all the way to Melbourne on New Year's Eve. She'll be playing New Year's at the Bowl. Previously was playing on New Year's Day, but they've had a slight shake-up. Also on the bill, get a load of this, kids. Headlining, we have Underworld. One of the guys I went to uni with his daughter, I'd need to message her to see if she's coming out. Absolutely wild when I found that out. It was insane. That was back in 2013 I met her. Lifetime ago. And also we have the UK legendary house Duje, Carl Cox. Mr. Carl Cox is in Melbourne along with Confidence Man. Then on New Year's Day itself, we have another superb lineup. We have Mr. Dom West, who'll be picking us up by the coattails with his delectable, soulful voice, as well as people such as Berlioz and Good Neighbours as well. It's going to be one hell of a New Year's celebration at New Year's at the Bowl. Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. What a venue that is. I went there a couple of years ago for New Year's Eve when I had a good mate of mine over here, and we still talk about it today. To go there on New Year's Eve, have the city skyline behind you, fireworks popping off left, right and centre, and generally just everyone in the best mood ever. And as I mentioned, a slight shake-up in the lineup there, the way that they're working the things across the 2 days. They have more acts now on New Year's Eve and another stage. Plus, here's the fun, a 1:30 a.m. finish. So going on a little bit later into the night, another few acts for you for New Year's Day as well to shake off your hangovers. Marabou State. Oh, mate, I would love to see them live. Black Oak last year was just so high up in my rotation. When I went traveling, it's just one of those tracks that seems to capture life. And when you're on the road and just having a ball, it's one of them, a nice backdrop tune. And Santi Gold, what a legend. She is rolling into Melbourne, plus Glass Beams and a band that are doing some anniversary tours off the back of their debut album, the amazing Preachers, will be there as well. So, man, get over to nyatthebowl.com.au. I thought I could carry on then and do terms and conditions apply, but they don't in this case. I just wanted to do that voice for the website. But the website is, in my normal voice, nyatthebowl.com.au. So do go check that out. They also obviously are on socials as well if you want to find out more of the lineup, more of the updates ahead of that amazing event. Go check it out.
Alternative Down Under.
But yes, coming up soon, my chat with Joy Crooks. Ah, how good. Joy Crooks on Old Down Under. I'm going to say that about five times before we actually get to the interview, just because why not? Part of that chat, I will, of course, be firing some Aussie slang at Joy to find out if she knows what the hell I'm all about, because, yeah, it certainly took me a little hard minute there to get my head around some of the Australian phrases. I didn't know what was going on. Particularly, I always say this, when I first went into a pub and I wanted a beer, and I'd heard Stone and Wood was quite good, so I was like, okay, please may I have a Stone and Wood, sir? He's like, yeah, sure, mate. Do you want a pint, a pot, a jug, or a schooner? And I was like, just a pint's fine, please. What? What's all this? Didn't know what a schooner was whatsoever. But anyway, that chat coming up real soon.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, I mentioned I'd had an amazing 2 weeks. Well, within that time, I've interviewed Joy Crooks. But what an event we've had here. What an event we've had around the world. Finally, after being over here in Melbourne, watching my mates back home, see them in Cardiff, London, all around the country, seeing them play in Ireland, Asia, finally, they arrived in Australia. Gallagher Brothers were in town. Oh my God, just what a time to be alive. I'm sat here with the biggest smile on my face. Oh, I saw them in Melbourne on the 1st of November, down at Marvel Stadium on the Saturday. They're one day on the Friday, on Halloween. I saw them the next day, but genuinely, it felt like Christmas Day. And I actually was such a big kid for the week. My heart rate, resting heart rate, was through the fucking roof. It was like I'd just done a sprint constantly that week. I didn't sleep very well for about 2 days in the lead up. I had about 20 mates around mine. Me and my housemate had some pals over. And just the atmosphere in the city was amazing. I was lucky enough to go down and check out the official fan store, see all the amazing merch that was there, and just the amount of people walking around Melbourne with Oasis bucket hats, jackets, t-shirts. It was real love. And just inside the stadium as well, just such a palpable atmosphere. I think anyone born within kind of the last 20, 25 years, I mean, I need to up that because I'm way beyond that, 30 years, and people that were of, I guess, either my age or younger when Oasis were actually here first time around, then we all have memories associated to those songs. They've just been a part of our lives, particularly if you're from the UK as well. They're so embedded in UK culture, and it was really nice to actually have a slice of home out here. I love living in Australia. I love Melbourne, but every now and then it is good to have a real taste of home, and it was just magic. I was thinking back to being 16, 17, just when BDI were around, Liam Gallagher's first solo outing, and I just loved him at that age and just really got into Oasis big time as well. And I remember just walking to sixth form college, 16 sort of age, bombing along up and down the street thinking I was the absolute bollocks and just like singing along the Supersonic and all the classics. And yeah, for all of it to come and boil down to now being a 31-year-old man, seeing them with new friends in this new city, this place that I now call home, was just magic. Genuinely, when they came out to Fucking in the Bushes, I was like, fucking, here we go. Goosebumps, absolute goosebumps. And I think that gig will go down as one of my all-time favorites and one that will live very long in the memory. Just everyone that I know went to that gig or went to go see them in Sydney has said the same thing. And it's just so good. It really has felt like a cultural event, this whole 2025 live Oasis Ureinion tour. It's been mega. But it also makes me think, music industry, we need to help these artists, the new artists coming through, because where are our headliners going to be in 10, 15, 20, 30 years' time? We need that new crop of big name stadium headliners. We need to help people out. So please, fuckers, get on board with some of these bands that are kicking about at the moment, because there's some fucking huge talents out there. But yes, Oasis, thank you for providing me with one hell of a show.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, in a couple of the recent episodes, I've been telling you some artists that I've been listening to recently, just because I feel like spreading the love, and I have to say, I think Australian music, I mean, the whole time I've been out here since the start of 2023 has been amazingly good, but I don't know what's going on right now, but I think we're in like a uniquely amazing spot for Australian music. The level of stuff being released, the amount of different artists, different genres, people just doing so, it's just, oh, I can't really get my head around it. As you can probably tell, because I can't actually formulate a sentence whilst trying to explain to you the state of Australian music right now. But it is very good. So anyway, I have four tracks to run you through and introduce to you if you do not know them already. So first up, this one from the wonderful Harper Bloom. Get your ears around this little number. This is The Cobra. That has just got such a nice energy to it and some lovely little breakdowns as well. So yeah, huge fan of Harper Bloom. Girl Like You by Harper Bloom, also another tune that came out, I believe that was back in August. So go and have a wee listen to that one. Up next, this one from Crocodilus. Recently on TikTok, I'm now a TikToker. I never thought I'd see the day, but I did give a shout out to these New South Wales and their new tune, Big Machine. Big Machine by name, Big Machine by nature. Whew. Absolute banger. But the link there is big guitar sound, pure indie rock and roll. It's what I was born and bred on, and it is my bread and butter. I've said that before on the show, and I'll stand by it until I'm in the grave, let me tell you. But this tune is mega. Let me introduce to you the new single, Limbo. Stuff like that, I'm like, come on, let's get into it. Absolutely huge fan of that one. What a band. Shifting slightly now onto more of an electronic feel. This one from brother-sister duo, Gimme Gimme. Also, shout out to you guys, because I don't reckon I could start a group with my siblings. I think it would end in World War III. So, big shout out to you there. I can't imagine there's no arguments. If there isn't, then even more of a bigger shout out to you, because that's incredible. Siblings working together, amazing stuff. But this is their new one, Green. There you go. That is Esther and Will Henderson, brother and sister. And I think we are all in agreement. Just the nice change in vocals from male, female singer is just always so nice. And they really complement each other well on this one. And just, the atmospherics in that tune are just, really did get me properly suckered in on first listen. Again, these guys have been around for a few years now, and the singles today are equally of a real high standard. So go and do your homework, kids, if you're not already across Gimme Gimme. And finally, Awelu Dreamhouse. We've had a bit of soul on the show recently, haven't we? My interview with Ella Thompson, today's chat with Joy Crooks, and I think just in Australia at the moment, a lot of great soul music out there. Wilson, Bumpy, Tanya George, there's some really good music coming out at the moment. And these guys are a Melbourne-based outfit, and if you're fans of people like Ezra Collective, Kokoroko, then you will be a fan of this. I mean, talk about layers in a track. Talk about encapsulating joyful chaos. This is it. This one is called Stutter. Oh yeah, big fan of that. And more exciting, Awelu Dreamhouse will be at New Year's at the Bowl. So not only can you see Underworld, Carl Cox and such like, you can also see soul such as Awelu Dreamhouse and Dom West. It's all going on. All right, that is my little roundup for this week's episode.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, I think it's about time we get into the main chat, the main show of episode 29 of Alt Down Under. A chat with an artist who's really been leveling up in recent times, had a string of amazing singles in the lead up to release of their second album this year. Perfect Crime, Mathematics, Pass the Salt, to name but a few. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Joy Crooks ahead of her trip down here to Australia on tour. She's currently on tour in the UK and in Ireland, spreading her infectious personality, her amazing songs, and let's be real, undeniable talent. So excited to bring you this one, my chat with Joy Crooks. Joy Crooks, I am very excited to have you on Alt Down Under. Welcome to the show. How are we?
I am good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm ticking over. I don't want to demean this interview in any way. I just haven't done that much prep because I've known your music for like 5 years, I want to say, probably a bit longer now. And I've watched lots of interviews and I just know that you have a great personality. So I'm not putting all the pressure on you to perform.
Carry it then. Okay, great.
But I just knew we'd have a good chat about your career and your music. So I have, don't worry, I have made a slight plan. I'm not going to completely just go have it for 30 minutes. So we're good.
I'm on Zoom because I forgot to brush my teeth. And I just realized now.
That would be a weird AI feature, wouldn't it? That you could then smell the people on the other end of a Zoom call.
Thank God that that's not made possible yet.
Yeah.
I don't think I smell. I just think that I've realised I've forgotten about my teeth. But
have you had any coffee yet today?
No.
Because it's only like 9 a.m. for you.
I've just woken up. I had nothing. There's like a Schweppes here. I don't know why this is not for me. But
Schweppes lemonade for those wondering. So on a typical day, like when you know you need to get stuff done, are you like a roll out of bed sort of person, or are you like?
It's really weird because everyone thinks I'm organized, but I really struggle with timing. And I try to be as punctual as possible, but that if I'm punctual, it means I get there just on time. I'm not someone that arrives anywhere early. And once I've locked onto something that I really, really give a shit about, am I allowed to say that?
Absolutely. Swear away. It's a podcast. You're fine.
Okay, great. Also, Australia, let's be honest. Hello, you can't. I feel like once I'm locked onto something, I'm really locked on. But if I'm not locked on, then I'm kind of aloof. So that's, yeah. What else would you like to know my national insurance number as well?
Do you know it off by heart? Because I haven't had to write mine down for a good few years now living over here. But I mean, don't give it out on a podcast because that would be absolutely absurd behaviour.
But I know all my like important numbers off by heart.
That's interesting. You reckon you're aloof, but you've got all that locked in.
I'm a complex woman. There we go. There's
the headline. I'm a complex woman. One thing I did want to ask you about, well, first of all, congratulations on Juniper, because what an album that is.
Thank you.
Because I was flicking through some of your posts the other day, and there was something you wrote along the lines of, I am paraphrasing here, but along the lines of, I didn't think I'd make it to this point making this second album or survive making this second album. So, yeah, I just wanted to find out where you were at between kind of after writing Skin and that coming out, and I know you toured quite a lot with that album, and then arriving at the point where you thought you were actually okay to set off on the Juniper journey.
I think it was good to set off on the Juniper journey a long time ago, actually. And there was a really difficult part of making the record where I wasn't feeling too well mentally. And it was probably good that I took time because of how outward facing this job is. But the landscape is ever changing, and I feel like I still have lots of struggles every day because it's a really difficult industry to be in, but I'm a lot more equipped now. Whereas I think even though I felt ready to release music, you know, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I just don't think it would have been smart in hindsight. So I'm in a much better place. I feel like everyone, we all struggle. This is a really difficult world we live in. And if it's not your own personal life making things hard, then all you need to do is have like the smallest amount of compassion and you'll crumble. In the state of the world that we live in. And I'm someone that reads into things, you know, like I can see a recession and late stage capitalism indicator everywhere I go. So I just, it's about, for me, making sure that I just have my safety nets and support systems and things that just make my life a little bit easier. Well, not my life easier, but I guess just the way I take in life easier. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, interesting. I suppose there's kind of like a duality to that, being a person that does take in a lot, because I suppose on one hand, like as someone that is writing songs and creating, it's quite handy because you're dialed into quite a few different things, but then just on a joy at home level, you're a bit like, oh my god, this is a bit much.
Yeah, totally. But I think that disparity lives with everyone. They're just lying when they say they don't have it.
That's a very good point, well made. Absolutely. I wanted to chat to you about a couple of tracks on the album. And one thing I did actually really like, because I think Past the Salt, was it January that came out?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, because like I'm a serial playlist maker, so I just constantly add stuff. And I've just had you like throughout the entire year, and then the album came out, and I've really enjoyed kind of living with the album. It's been really nice. So many great tracks on there. One, probably my standout, is Mathematics, because I listen to that track and I'm like, right, okay, this, why do I feel rejoiced but the lyrics are really sad? There's quite a lot going on in there. So just, what's the story behind that?
I went on holiday with a man that I only knew for 10 hours. And like, it's all about the kind of like that situation with this random like bloke I met, basically. And how at a certain point it felt like a really strong connection was being made, but he was like, he's French and was really like aloof about it. And I was like, nah, mate, it's quite clearly this. And he was a bit like, no, actually, I'm going to make it so much more complicated. And I was like, it's actually not that complex. It's pretty clear to me what this is. But alas, I think he might have been right. Like, I think it was mathematics. I don't think I actually was in love with this man. But at the time, the feelings were so strong that I was like, you can't walk away from this. Like, this is what it is. Stop making it more complicated. But actually, I went on this holiday with him and decided I never wanted to see him again. So...
yeah. Fair enough. I was going to ask, how was the holiday? It turns out it wasn't very good.
Well, I think after like 3 hours, I knew what to expect. And I was right. Okay, you're going to just, it was like a weekend, so I just had to stick it out. But in my head, it sounds really messed up to say this, but I was like, this is just going to be a really funny story someday.
Well, that's quite a nice takeaway to have, to be fair. And like you said earlier about like someone living in the current world that we live in, it is pretty hectic. And I think fair play to you, kind of living in the moment so much so that you're like, I will believe in the fact that this could go really well. I quite rate that.
I'm quite like romantic, I think, as a person. And I don't just mean with like people I've dated, but I think it just keeps me hopeful, you know? I just like to think that there's something potentially better and higher and bigger on the other side that's happier.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you think, in terms of being a romantic away from pure romance, are you like a romantic for, do you think, like another time, or like more for feelings?
I don't know, like when I think romantic, I think like, I don't know, like yesterday I saw like a schoolboy with like a bag that was way too big for him, and I was like driving past him and I had stopped at a light and he was walking past my car, and I just thought, what an absolute little angel, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like just dialing into those kinds of moments, like there was a guy at the gym yesterday with a hoodie that just said N-A-H, like nah, and like the etymology of the word nah. And I was like, that's amazing. I don't know, like, romantic in the sense that I try and like, and I think a lot of us do it, but we don't take it to heart enough. But I just try and make like post-it notes everywhere of like things that are good or like beautiful or situations or like two aunties like having an argument, but they're both in like the best outfit. You know, like just making note of the human condition that feels,
yeah,
you know, romantic sounds like it's about love or like relationships or that kind of
thing. No, not at all.
Romance is like so much more than that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's something you can apply to something for many, many different facets of life. And yes, yeah, funny you mentioned about writing stuff down, because for years, well over 10 years, I've written a diary, not like a dear diary, but it's just like I literally write down what I do every day, any like stupid little funny moments. And I love to like write letters and stuff as well. Are you someone that quite likes to hold on to that sort of older stuff as well?
I think so. I only did what you did in COVID because I was like, I don't know how long these days are going to be. And I'm so worried about what these days look like. And there's so little like left in our worlds because our worlds have become so small from this like massive tragic thing that I'm gonna do what you did. Like, it wasn't dear diary, but it was like today this happened. It could be like the most menial thing, but you would just start to find that like even your head just feels better when you do that, right? Like you're just more aware of your surroundings, and it's so easy to write off things like, oh, I had a shit day, all I did was go to like do my groceries and shit. But actually, I think if you can find like magic everywhere, it makes life so much like more worth living.
Oh, 100%. It's like the little victories, isn't it? And I think that's part of the romance thing that you mentioned as well. Like, I think a lot of the time I'll be like, oh, that was a 6 out of 10 day. And then I'll write down, I'm like, actually, do you know what? I really enjoyed that flat white I had earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like the idiosyncrasies of life, which is what can be quite romantic, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just quickly going back to mathematics, working with Kano. What was that like? Because for those listening that don't know, he is a bit of a UK icon in the grime garage space. When I say a bit of, very much an icon in that space. How did that come about? Had you guys been like on each other's radars for quite a long time in the UK?
Yeah, I think the reason being Blue May, who's made Skin and Juniper, like been a huge part in production on both albums and writing. He makes loads of Kano's music and made like hoodies all summer with him. So Kano and him have like a good working relationship. And so every now and then, as absolutely mental as this sounds, Kano would drop into the studio. Like, you know, like there's no part of me that wasn't having an existential crisis anytime that happened.
I'd quite like to see you. How cool did you try and play it?
I just tried to focus so much on it being about music, but I had spent like, spent time with him now. Like our studio used to be in a house and he used to drop by the house, you know, and that was just like, that was so fucked up. And I was so young. That was and I was just like, I love you. But then also like, be cool, be cool, be cool. Whereas when it got to Juniper, it was like, okay, we've met before. I know that I feel really comfortable around you. And like ultimately this is about music and that's something that you love and that's something I love and that's a connection we share. So when he came into the studio, there's actually footage of it. I'm definitely like in fucking spectacles and like just, I really went, you know what, just dial into the music quickly. Like the only way to get this is just to focus really hard. And I got a bit too locked onto the music, but he listened to everything. He's quite stoic and quite, he only says what he needs to, which I really respect. I'm a I'll probably waffle till I'm in the grave. But he had this thing where he was walking out and he just looked at me and he was like, when he'd listened to parts of Juniper and he was like, this is a huge progression. You should be really happy with this, and just gave me really, really kind words, and it kind of floored me. And as he was walking out, he was humming Mathematics, but I wanted him on Pass the Salt. So I was a bit confused.
Why was he saying that?
But he was obsessed with it. He wanted to hear it over and over again. And behind my back in a very sweet way, he was like messaging Blue being like, send me that tune. I want to hear it. Or, you know, he was just locked onto Mathematics. I don't don't know why it spoke to him so much, but it didn't. Also, if you know Kano's music, he doesn't usually write verses about romance or love.
No.
So that felt like another win too, because it just felt like something he rarely feels, I mean, maybe the need to speak about. So it was really, really beautiful that he decided that that was the tune he wanted to do, and he did it behind my back. Blue sent me a file, and I was like, what's this? And he would FaceTime me and told me to open it, and it was just Kano rapping on my music. And that was mental.
Yeah, wild. That's so cool. But like with that track as well, Mathematics, like, because do you remember back in the day growing up how good it was, like, finish school, come home, watch music videos? Like, I don't think music videos get the appreciation they should do nowadays still.
They don't get the budget they used to these
days. Well, there you go, right, yeah. But that music video, like, just completely accentuates that song in the best way. It's so well made.
Thank you. That was my idea, but I think Kano was a bit like, what the fuck are we doing? And I was like, well, you're going to be my husband. And he was like, excuse me? And I was like, well, you know, I don't want this to be some like video vixen shit where I have to like grind up on you on a car that neither of us own. So I actually want to do this like, you're my husband. You're a little bit of like an aloof partner. No one really knows why. We're kind of having issues, and this is our kid. And he was like, I hope this doesn't turn out to be like a BPEC drama. And I was like, don't be like that. It's going to be amazing. And now nominated for an award.
It's genius. I love it. Back yourself. Absolutely back yourself. A couple of other tracks on the album I wanted to chat about was I Need to Kill and Perfect Crime, because both of those, you had a couple of tracks on Skin as well that like had a real strong driving bass line to the song.
Yeah.
Is that something that's kind of sparked from influences you had like growing up, or just you just love that hooky bass line in your songs?
I just love bass lines. I mean, I love bass because it doesn't, if you're just playing single notes, it doesn't dictate harmonics, which I think is really, really useful and annoying when you're writing melodies. But the challenge is quite fun. Like, you chords dictate harmonics, and you have, for me, less to work around when you have chords. But when you have bass lines, you can kind of like flirt with major and minor and everything in between. So I think I've always enjoyed writing to bass lines, but also I love, like, even for example, D'Angelo, who passed this week, he his relationship with Pino Palladino and bass lines was, even though he's a keys player, it was like unfathomable. It was just like a connection. And I think that, and there's a lot to be said for being a singer and writing melodies to bass lines and dialing in,
because I remember, I can't remember which single it was that you released, but you uploaded a really cool video of yourself just literally like in front of your phone with the bass singing over. I can't remember which single it was now, but I was like,
I think it was Perfect Crime, and I got in so much shit for it because everyone thought I was using a pick, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with using a pick on a bass. I was using my acrylic nails, and also like, and nails have such a good tone to them, but everyone was just being like fucking orthodox about it, and I was like, you all need to chill the fuck out.
That's such a great thing to shout at people. Can everyone stop being orthodox, please?
Well, I was just like, right. So then I just counteracted it and started playing with a spoon and a lighter, like picking with a spoon and a lighter. I was like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want, actually. Yeah, thank you very much.
I'll take your sublime and I'll go ridiculous.
I don't know how I ended up on bass TikTok, but I did. And that was really stressful while it lasted, to be fair.
Yeah. Do you ever find it weird, just on that, how the things that people decide to pick up on when you post or you make an announcement or anything like that?
Totally, yeah. Like, I could have said the most like deep thing in my life and people are like, wow, love your fringe, like, well,
like pouring your heart out over the new album. Tell you what, your nails look superb, sister.
Yeah, like, love the way that top's cropped. Oh, anyone got an ID for that jacket? It's like, okay, cool. Shall I just go fuck myself?
It's like being at a table in a conversation and just no one will bother taking in what you've said.
Yeah, but you know what? A part of it is really funny too. I do love just how mental the internet is sometimes. Not all the time, but
yeah,
sometimes it is really to think of how absolutely fried everyone is.
Well, one thing that is, it amuses me, and I'm sure it amuses you, I mean, very cool story, the fact that you were just known as that FIFA girl for a bit with Feet Don't Fail Me Now.
I think I still am. It's like, I'll post anything. Actually, to be fair, one of my main comments I get when I post absolutely anything is Feet Don't Fail Me Now, and I'm like, sorry, I was just talking about like my week, and it's just everything is, no one says, I like Feet Don't Fail Me Now. They just say, Feet Don't Fail Me Now in the comment section. I'm like, I can't write another one. It's just one song. Like, I'm so sorry.
It's like, by writing that song, you've created an army of absolute lunatics.
No, and I have a weird feeling that a lot of them are like 13 years old and probably not, like, their parents don't even know they're on FIFA.
Yeah, so true. But you've got a new track for the new FIFA coming out as well. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's out. It was meant to be on this album, but it was a song I took off the album because I didn't think it sat well with the rest of the music. But I worked really hard on the song and I'm glad that it's going to see some daylight.
Absolutely. Very cool. I love that the little synergy between you and FIFA. It's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Another track I did want to ask you about before we move on from Juniper is Carmen, because it's quite a unique track, because it's kind of introspective, but whilst looking at what someone else has at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I was envious of someone, and instead of writing a fuck you song, I decided to write a song of adoration towards her. And, you know, the big question was, when do I get to experience what you're experiencing? You seem to have it all covered, and I would love to feel that way.
At what point did you flip the switch and turn it into a positive?
In the studio. I mean, I didn't turn it ever into a positive until I was over this girl's boyfriend. But I basically just fancied her boyfriend, and I'm not really a home wrecker type.
Yeah.
I think I'm too clumsy for that. and also, like, no one deserves that. On girl code, that's a terrible thing to do. So I was just kind of stuck. I was like, damn, I really feel like I have a connection with this person. But she's kind of in the way, and I don't understand why everyone thinks she can walk water. She's a really nice girl, but yeah, I just, is it a societal thing? Like, is she so great because society puts her at the top and puts people like me at the bottom? I don't know, but maybe I'm not going to pity myself on this tune. Maybe I'm just going to put her on the pedestal that she seems to be on anyway, and like throw adoration at her. I know it's a weird thing. It's like a weird perspective to write from, but I really enjoyed writing from this perspective.
Yeah, that's really cool, because it is so unique. But it's true though, with those little like internal thoughts and questioning of someone else, because you're like, actually, 9 times out of 10, there's probably someone thinking the exact same about myself.
Exactly, and that's the thing. The thing about Carmen is we're all a Carmen, because there's always someone that wants to be us or wants to be have one of our traits, or there's always something to be jealous of, right? There's always a way to feel like you're not good enough. I think a lot of my friends don't like Carmen because they're like, well, why did you write a song about how you don't feel good enough? And I'm like, well, because that is the fucking human condition. Like, we all feel that way.
Yeah.
And just because I feel it more like, I don't know, like a stereotypically beautiful blonde girl, whatever. Like, as like even men, like if you're not good at basketball, I don't fucking know. Like, you get up.
That's
like,
the one that always gets me. I'm bad at basketball.
Yeah. There's loads of stuff. There's people that aren't able-bodied that are like jealous of people that are bodied. Like, we all have something that another person doesn't. And so, yeah, it's just about the human condition.
Let's talk about Australia, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. First of all, congratulations on a very funny video that you made. Whose idea was it for you to be upside down?
It was Kieran's. He's head of my marketing team, and he was like, I found this upside down place. And I was like, you're joking. And it was like end of a working day, and I had to go to White City. I don't know if you're from London, but
yeah, I lived in London for a bit. Yeah, it's down by Shepherd's Bush, isn't it? Down that way.
Yeah, going to White City is like, I might as well go back to Bangladesh, to be honest. It's so far. Fine, I'll go, but this has to be worth it. And me and my manager were just like, I can't believe we're in fucking White City, and he didn't even bother coming. And then Morgan was there, he filmed it, and the whole place was like meant to look like upside down. So like, you go in, it's the most orienting like building I've ever been into. Everything's flipped, and then all you have to do is flip your screen and it looks like you're upside down. But because I for the life of me, I can't not be distracted. I was just like, I'm gonna hold this table, because it just felt like something to do. And then that ended up looking like I was doing a handstand on the table. So
I enjoyed it because you're playing New Year's at the Bowl. Great lineup as well. Dom West is a great singer. Very much looking forward to seeing him live. It's quite funny. I quite like the lineups for New Year's Eve, with like Underworld absolutely smashing it into the new year, and then it's a really nice, much more mellowed out version on New Year's Day, which is perfect.
That makes sense. That makes
Yeah,
sense.
it's going to be great. So in that video, you did attempt an Aussie accent. Have you been working on it any more at all?
But like I always say, I didn't come here to fuck a spider. Isn't that what people
They
say?
do.
I'm here to fuck
Yeah,
spiders.
that's it. To not mess about. With that, there's a couple of Aussie slang terms I wanted to ask you just to see if you knew what they were.
I'm so down. Yeah, go
Do you
on.
know what a durry is?
Like a really dry curry.
That makes perfect sense. It's a cigarette.
Why would you call it that?
I have no idea. I literally have no idea. Next up, do you know what no whockers means?
No, like no trouble.
Yeah, no worries.
I love durry. Everyone needs to give me a durry.
Durry, yeah, there you go. Shout out, Joy needs durries. What about an ankle biter? What would be an ankle biter?
An X? I don't know.
That's a good one. I actually thought it was just short people because someone I used to know, I'm not even that short, I'm 5 foot 10. A guy I used to work with called me an ankle biter, but it's actually a child.
That's really savage, but okay, cool.
Is pretty brutal. And on the last bit of slang, pash. Do you know what a pash is?
Hash, no idea. Is it a club?
Nah, well, that's Pasha, isn't that in
Yeah.
Ibiza? If you pash someone, you're basically just getting off of them.
Ugh, but that's such a gross word.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Pash.
Can you be like, oh, I passed him last night?
Yeah.
Ugh, that's gross. That's worse than shagging. To be fair, shagging has humor to it, but pash just sounds like you fucking scrap someone.
True. That's true. I've got an Aussie mate. I always like over like anglicize stuff just to annoy my friend. And like sometimes if you ever a pash sort of chat ever comes up, I'm always like, did you have any rompy pompy? He's just like, he's like, mate, don't ever say it.
Or hit them with hanky panky, they won't know what's coming.
Hanky panky's a good one, absolutely.
I'll have 2 pints, please. I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Joy, let's do the dream gig venue. First of all, what name would you like to give your made-up dream gig venue? And what is the ideal capacity?
The name, I don't know, like the
The
spot.
spot. Nice.
It can fit 500, but on most nights there's 350.
Yeah, okay. Is that the ideal size for you? That's where you're most happy.
I don't know, but like, doesn't it start to feel overwhelming when there's more than 500 people in the room? But anyone.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've never been on stage to that many people, so
It's like conference territory, you know? Like we want to keep it like nice and intimate.
yeah, perfect. Okay, what is the dress code?
Whatever you want. Yeah, however you feel to express yourself.
Love that. Okay, and free drink on tap, and what free food is available?
Oh, but by the way, we do have loads of actually quite like we have loads of fancy dress nights. There's loads of
Loads of theme
themes
nights. What was the most recent one?
there. Narcos.
Just loads of people with the Pablo Escobar tash.
Yeah, and like in wife beaters and shit, and like bring like like vests and they're like fake sweats. Like people just got like these water bottles spraying themselves. Yeah.
To really lock into it. Okay, I like that. All right, free food, free drink.
Free food.
Yeah, it's a dream gig venue, so there's free food.
Okay, great. Yeah. We've got a kitchen made up of 12 different aunties from all different places in the world, and they all rotate the menu.
That's incredible. What
Yeah.
would be your number one, do you reckon? Who's your favorite auntie?
Oh, we don't have a favorite. It all depends on the mood, doesn't it? We're going to have a Caribbean night. We're going to have a Bangladeshi night. We're going to have like a European kind of like Polish night, pierogies,
Yeah,
like
nice.
all like European hand foods that I just absolutely die for. We're gonna have a straight up rice night. So actually all the aunties collab and they're actually secretly having competition to see whose rice gets eaten the most. But like
Rice
we
off.
definitely got an African auntie. I'm gonna say West African auntie. I'm gonna go for like Sierra Leone. I love Sierra Leonean jollof. Or Gambia auntie, really love those two countries, jollof. I feel like jollof does come from a tribe in Gambia, so jollof rice wars. And then I think what are we missing? Definitely South American. We have to have South American food,
Hell
coupled.
yeah.
and an auntie from Southern America that makes like seafood boil, and yeah, just all staple home foods, basically stuff that you can't necessarily get in like in chain restaurants, or just like real home food shit, you know, stuff that will make sure no one ever pukes in our leaves.
Perfect, love that. Okay, and next, what would you like, or who would you like, sorry, support acts, dead or alive? You're the main star of the show. Who are you having?
I have to be the main. I'd support. We've got D'Angelo, we've got David Bowie, we've got Sinead O'Connor, we've got Nina Simone, but Nina's nights are just Nina's nights. Like we only serve dirty martinis and espresso martinis on Nina's nights. And the food is like small plates because you don't want people to be like scoffing up, absolutely pouring her heart out.
Love that. And finally, can you please tell me, Joy, who would you like running the front door security?
Maya Jama.
Fair play. Why Maya Jama? Is she a good friend of yours?
She's just so, yeah, like not a good friend, but she's just so fit and also so funny. And so like she has a, I reckon if she had to kick someone out, she'd do it in a way that didn't offend anyone. She just like, people would probably find it like an honor to be kicked out by her. So
that is true.
Probably Maya, I'd say. And just like, also if you were walking past the spot and you saw Maya outside in one of her like fab outfits, but like fab outfits but like sneakers, so she's comfortable on the door, you'd just be like, what is this place, you know?
Mind blown. Well, my mind's blown anyway, so thanks ever so much for building the spot. I appreciate that.
See, the spot is such a good name, isn't it?
It's stuck already. Absolutely.
Where are you going to the spot? What are you doing tonight? The spot.
The spot.
Oh, do you know what I really feel like? The spot.
The spot. Boom. You can maybe go for a pash and a durry at the spot.
No, we don't do them. No. We do snogging. We do a snog.
And bloody good cigarettes.
Snogging and fags at the durry. No, at the spot.
So. Love that. Well, Joy, I'm buzzing for you to come down. Can't wait to see you live as well. I haven't seen you live yet, so looking forward to that. I'll be the one Brit on the hill waving at you.
Jason, I'm sure I'll recognise you from a mile away.
Alternative Down Under.
There you go, my chat there with Joy Crooks on Alt Down Under. Thank you so much to you, Joy, for dropping by for that chat. Honestly, just so happy to have these opportunities, and like just being a fan of a musician for so many years, living with their music day-to-day life and having a chance to sit down with them, it will never be a feeling that I get tired of. It's so nice. And just to get into a chat about music and find out more about an artist away from music as well. Thanks again to Joy for opening up, you know, her struggles that she had in the lead up to Juniper. But as she said there in the interview, glad that she kind of scaled back, hit the pause button and went again when she felt more energized and more in herself to be able to deliver the album that she knew she could. And just wow, working with Kano, like that must be so cool. Someone with that level of experience and knowledge and just absolute know-how on how to deliver on a song. So cool. And yeah, some of the themes in the tracks as well, the 10-hour romance that led to my favorite track, Mathematics. What a tune that is. And Carmen as well. That was very interesting hearing Joy talk about how she wanted to write a Fuck You song, but then flipped it into a song of admiration. I think that in itself is pretty admirable, to be honest, because it's quite easy just to be like, fuck you, and let those thoughts enter our minds, isn't it? But amazing stuff. And the dream gig venue with Maya Jama on front door security and loads of aunties cooking up an absolute storm from around the world. Amazing stuff. But yes, a reminder, Joy will be down here at New Year's at the Bowl. Go and get your tickets at nyatthebowl.com.au and check out all the latest updates on their socials as well. It's going to be such a fun celebration, such a cool way to close out the year and welcome a new one. 2026, what the hell is going on, man? I'm 32 next year. That's what the fuck is going on? Absolutely insane. But yeah, there you go. That is the end of this episode. I'll be back in a couple of weeks to bring you yet another big episode. In the meantime, take care, stay safe, enjoy your music, enjoy your gigs. Keep up to date with us on altdown.under on Instagram and TikTok. And we'll be back mighty soon.